Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we have on the line with us, we're going to be talking this hour, folks, and welcome back to our show. Let's, first things first, we are the Phil Hendry Show, we are, and you can get us online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass, we certainly do. Invite you to join us with our live streaming video of our show each and every night, as well as close to 5,000 hours of archived audio, as well as so many other things as we continue to press on here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we have a gentleman on the line here, and I want to talk to you guys this hour about Spetsnaz. I know a lot of you have not heard of it, and what exactly this organization does. What is your name, sir?
Well, hello?
Yes, sir. What is your name?
Oh, hi, Phil. My name is Wilson Burnett.
You're Wilson, Mr. Burnett?
Yes, that's correct.
And where are you from, sir?
Well, I'm from Indiana, Phil. Originally, I'm from Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay. And you're with Spetsnaz, right?
No, I'm with Spetsnaz. I have the Spetsnaz donut shop there in Oxnard. And I thought that's what you...
Hold on for just a minute, okay?
That's what you wanted.
I didn't say Spetsnaz, did I? I said Spetsnaz, man! The Russian thing!
That's a donut!
No, it's not, man. It's spelled different.
Hold on. Let me just... Hey, Mr. Burnett?
Well, yeah, this is Wilson Burnett.
Yeah, Mr. Burnett, this is Bud Dickman. I was the guy that called you up.
Oh, hi, Mr. Dickman. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Do you kill people?
Well, Bud, maybe sometimes with my bad cooking at home I could kill people, but I can assure you that Spetsnaz, the number one donut in all of America.
Yeah, get lost. That ain't the guy.
Don't tell him to get lost, that poor man. He's a nice guy. He didn't know what he got into. He didn't know he was talking to a blithering idiot.
I didn't know about when you say Spetsnaz.
So if I say Spetsnaz and I spell it out for you and you think, oh, well, what the hell, it's a donut?
Yeah. You're always talking about Spetsnaz. You go, hey, Dud, Bud. You called me Dud, too, one time. But
no, I didn't.
Well, anyway, you said go get a donut. And remember morning you said go get a donut?
You mean like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you mixed up that morning that I asked you to go get donuts with me asking you to get a guy on from Spetsnaz.
Yeah, he thought of the donut shop.
Well?
You gotta be some... Oh, man, are you dumb. Woo! Baby!
Are you putting me on, Dickman? You know something? I've known some stupid guys in my day, but you really take the cake. You take the donut, don't you? You take the eclair, you take the cream-filled donut.
Well, you take the cream.
You filthy... Hey! No, I will not stand for that. Take it back. Take it back.
Forget it.
I'm going to kill...
Hey, Margaret, come on now.
No, I'm going to kill him.
Margaret! This is, you know, what's the point, man? What's the point?
Well, I don't, man.
Break my ass for what? And I got all these people calling me up. Hey, man, you know, this, that. You know something, folks? Well, I better not say it because they'll get pissed off.
You mean about people saying what station you're on?
Yeah, don't. Yeah, no, I don't want these you-know-who to get angry. Get their feelings hurt. Meanwhile, I'm the guy that's got to sit here and deal with this stuff.
Well?
I didn't kill him.
She strangled me and everything. I was trying to kill me.
No, I didn't, you big baby.
You know something, Bud? You really, I swear to God, you deserve it, man. I mean, you don't deserve to die, maybe, but I ask you to get a guy on from Spetsnaz and you get a donut guy on, and then you're talking about somebody being cream-filled.
Seemed like the thing to say.
Oh, it seemed like the thing to say. Anyway, folks, I'm not going to waste any more time with it. Spetsnaz is who I was talking about, and Spetsnaz, Spetsnaz. Anybody know what that is? Well, don't raise your hand. It is the Russian Special Service. It's the Russian equivalent of whatever our top-line anti-terrorist type of military unit would be here in the United States. Delta Force, maybe? SEAL Team 6, or just the SEALs, perhaps? But these guys in Spetsnaz go back to the communist era. They were at one time a part of the Soviet Union's military, and now, of course, they're part of Russia's military service. And they are about as badass a bunch of guys that you've ever seen in your life. And It was very interesting watching today because I got a whole spin on something that I never knew was I didn't know that this took place, and it was very interesting. You guys remember the theater when it was taken over by those Chechenian terrorists?
Yes, in Moscow.
What about the kids?
What do you mean the kids? That was a school. I'm talking about the theater.
It was a theater, you dingleberry.
He called me a dirty word.
In any event, the Chechenian terrorists took over a theater in Moscow, as you may recall, and eventually, as you may recall, the terrorists were taken down by the Russian police, which it turns out was this Spetsnaz organization, the Spetsnaz unit, and the hostages, for the most part, were saved, but something happened. The gas that had been used to knock out many of the terrorists, the gas that had been used to try to knock out the women that were known as the Black Widows, these were women that came in with the terrorists, they had bombs strapped to them, they had sidearms, they were completely covered from head to toe in a sort of a black burqa-style clothing. It was intended to knock them out. But this gas wound up incapacitating a number of these hostages, and eventually a lot of them died. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 people died. And it became, internationally, it became kind of a black eye on the Russian police and the Spetsnaz guys who went in and took out these terrorists, particularly took a lot of blame. People said, well, this is, you know, what kind of a stupid amateur operation was this? And it's a very interesting story because it was not as it appeared. As a matter of fact, these Spetsnaz guys did the job beautifully. And they interviewed a lot of them today. And first of all, to see these guys, you're reminded of the elite soldier that you would think of, and we have them in our armed forces as well. But these guys seem to go a step beyond. Now, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Delta Force training, and nor am I familiar exclusively with the SEALs. But these cats are doing these, as they said, we don't believe in the toys. We don't believe that much in the toys, the technology. We believe in ourselves. In training ourselves. So they're heavy into martial arts. They really are heavy into those kinds of martial arts exhibitions like busting blocks over your head. I mean, they're taking... did you see that, Robert?
Yeah, that one guy took a block on his back.
Yeah, this one guy had a block on his back, and dudes were coming up and busting this block with their fists. Then they put another block on another guy's back. So this is the kind of thing, you know.
What in the name of God? What's the point of this?
It's physical conditioning, and it's up close combat, and it's very impressive. So what happened was these guys went into this theater. They got together a plan, an operational plan, where they would go in and free these hostages. But here's the thing about this Spetsnaz, which may be similar to our military units that deal with this kind of thing. These guys are not about rescue; they're about going in and killing. That's what they said. They said we're not trained to necessarily go and extract hostages. We're trained to go in and kill the people that are holding them. So they went into this theater, and really, within 10 to 15 minutes, they had killed every single one of these terrorists, didn't lose one hostage.
Now, the people in the theater, though...
You said they died.
Well, it gets to the interesting story here. They used this knockout gas to give the Spetsnaz soldiers, the operatives, enough time to get in there so that these people are disoriented enough they can get in there and start taking them out one at a time. The gas, I think, had knocked out some, but not all of these terrorists. It had knocked out these Black Widows, but there was another problem. They thought the place was booby-trapped with bombs. So these guys get in there, they kill everybody in there, including the head of the organization. Now come the police and the paramedics. They come in, they start removing people from the theater. Here's where the screw-up took place. This gas that was used to knock people out, to knock out these terrorists, apparently, and I don't know anything about this, but you would think that an emergency medical worker would. If you lay somebody on their back, they are going to asphyxiate. They're going to what is the word that they used? Expirate. They're going to vomit. and they'll choke on it. Or their tongues, they'll swallow their tongues. You don't lay somebody on their back. You got to turn them on their side. This is what killed those people in that theater in Moscow. Instead of laying them on their sides the way they should have been, they laid them on their backs, and these people basically suffocated. So it wasn't the fault of the soldiers. It wasn't the fault of the guys that went in and took out these terrorists. It was, I hate to lay blame, but it was the medical people that responded should have been told, here's what you're supposed to do, here's the gas we're using, here's what's likely to happen, and here's how you treat these people in an emergency. They laid them out in the, it was very cold, they laid them on their back, and these folks just died as a result of suffocating. So it was interesting for me because I always thought, hearing that story, boy, that was a real cluster, you know what. And those cats didn't know what they were doing, and they really butchered it, and what a bunch of dummies. No, it was the problem was with the medical people, you know.
Well, that's really interesting, but what's that got to do with anything?
I thought it was interesting to talk about. I don't know.
Dude, the guy here, Sonny.
Yeah. Sonny Pazukas is one of the Spetsnaz guys.
That can't. How can he get a Russian guy named Sonny?
What do you mean, how can they get a Russian guy named Sonny? I don't know, man.
Yeah, they're going to call a guy named Sonny, man. That's Italian.
Yeah, that's Italian.
So it doesn't matter. You can be Russian and named Sonny.
Yeah, if you're from America, if you're from America, but you've got Russian, you have a Russian blood, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, if you're from America and you're what?
And you're Russian.
Russian-American?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy is not Russian-American.
No, because he's in the Spudnut or whatever it's called. I don't know.
Spetsnaz, man. If I live to be 1,000 years old, I'm going to get you to know the difference between Spudnuts and Spetsnaz.
Yeah, so what about it, man?
I didn't say anything.
No, I'm talking to him.
His name's Sonny. What's that about?
Hey, bud, who cares, man, okay?
The whole thing stinks to me.
Oh, is that right? The whole thing stinks because they got a guy in the Spetsnaz in Russia named Sonny, so you think the whole thing is bullcrap.
My God, he's delirious.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll have General Galen Shaw to fill us in on more when we come back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk about these very interesting chaps, the Spetsnaz of Russia. Great, great special forces fighters from the Russian Federation. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Spetsnaz. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. And, you know, the Phil Henry Show, if you've listened to our show for a long time, you've noticed is we've sort of, I guess the word is changed, evolved. If you go online to our website, you listen to our archives, you realize the show is different today than it was then. And there's a lot of issues involved with that, and a lot of reasons why. And quite frankly, folks, it's not something for me to talk about on the air. When you ask me questions about affiliates, I can't really give you any answers. I can only refer you to the people that syndicate our show, TRN. Ask them. I don't really have the answers, nor do I feel like talking about it. I certainly wouldn't mention anything here on the air. There are just, you know, issues that that exist. All right. We have with us here General Galen Shaw, retired United States Army. General Shaw, how are you?
Phil, doing very well, very well.
And thank you, sir, for being with us.
Always my pleasure.
Now, do you know of this organization that I'm talking?
Yes, I do. Spetsnaz. Very well.
And these guys, as I said, and Dan and I were just talking, Dan's an Army veteran, and they command his respect. What do you think of them?
Well, I would agree with Dan. They are a formidable force and an organization that should command respect. They are a tough bunch of guys. They deal with every objective, every mission, and every operation in a way that is thorough. And they are a force to be reckoned with there in the Russian military. There's no question about it.
You know, when I was talking, did you hear or some of the comments that I was making about this the Chechenian terrorist attack on that theater?
Well, yes, I did, and I know a little bit about the Chechnya, this operation against these Chechnyan terrorists there in Moscow, Phil. The Spetsnaz were alerted almost immediately as soon as the Russian police understood what was going on, and the operation was a Spetsnaz specialty, as you said, which is to go in and kill the bad guy. Now, Spetsnaz was used back in the days of the communist rule in Russia. They were used as an assassination team. And so they would go into the capital cities of countries that were inimical to the Russian, or the, well, I'm using the word inimical or inimitable. And perhaps, Margaret, you can help me with that?
What do you need, General?
What do they mean? What does inimical mean?
I don't know.
It's contrary.
I thought it, yes. I thought that's what it was. Let me look that up.
Can someone look the word up?
Would that be all right, Phil, if someone there could look up that word?
Would someone please look up the word?
Look up?
Look up the word inimical.
So wook?
I said look. I misspoke and said wook.
No, don't get angry. You know that a wook is a thing. It's something from Star Trek.
No, it isn't.
Oh, a Wook is not from Star Trek. I thought I'd just jump in with that.
Well, General, you're a general in the United States Army, or at least you were. You're retired, but I don't think Star Trek and Wooks are necessarily your area of expertise.
Well, they are not my area of expertise, but they are my area of expertise if I'm the only one in your group that knows what a Wook is.
I know what a Wookiee is, and that's from Star Wars. It's not from Star Trek, and I didn't say Wookiee. I said Wook, and I meant to say look. Okay?
All right. So now I know. Dad, you explain yourself.
I'm with Phil on this one. I don't think you have to say, oh, excuse me, would you look up something in the dictionary? Oh, I didn't mean to say Wookiee. I'm not talking about a furry little man that lives in a tree.
Well, I don't know.
Well, but... My God, Bud, thank God Almighty you weren't in the... I would have loved it if you'd been in the military. I would have loved it, and thank God for you that you weren't.
Now, what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I think Bud knows... I would have loved it. I would have loved it. Back in the day, when I was a drill instructor myself with the United States Army, if I'd had him in boot camp, I would have fallen in love with the idea because I would have had him... Pete until his ass gave out, as we used to say. And pardon my language, Margaret.
Well, General...
I know, it's Army talk.
Yes, Margaret, it is, it's Army talk. I would have PT'd you, Bud, till your ass gave out.
Well, that can be taken a couple different ways.
No, I know that. And if you said that to me then, if you would have said, oh, PT, Sergeant, which way do you mean that? Then I would have PT'd you until your ass gave out a second time. So you just keep right on talking. Now, Phil, let me get back to the Spetsnaz. That is all, Dickman.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You want me to keep talking?
Yeah, Spetsnaz. So go ahead.
All right. So Spetsnaz, which was inimical, or rather the countries that would be inimical to Russia, Spetsnaz was sent in, and they were sent in to assassinate the leaders of a foreign state. Now, Spetsnaz soldiers carry a regular pack. This is a regular army kit. And this army kit has, among other things, a shovel. Any American soldier is very familiar with the spade, which you will, the pack spade you'll use to dig a variety of cover. You can dig it for a shelter. You can also use it as a weapon. And Spetsnaz uses this shovel as a weapon better than any other military individual in the world.
Now, this is the shovel that you often see the soldiers have there in their pack on their back?
That is correct, yes.
It's
called a spade.
Okay. And so they use it as a weapon.
They can use it as a weapon. Spetsnaz can take a man's head clean off with this weapon. And excuse me for...
Well, that is extremely graphic and violent.
Yes, it is, Margaret, and I apologize, but it is. They can take a man's head off, and I was at a demonstration of this in which they had a dummy, just a regular...
Hold on for a minute, General, okay?
Yes, certainly, Bill.
General Galen Shaw with us talking about Spetsnaz, the Russian Special Service, Russian Special Forces, that have been involved in a number of operations, one of which was the saving of hostages in that Chechenian terrorist takeover of a theater in Moscow, and other things. We'll be back with more from General Galen Shaw, and your phone calls are number 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And I also, I forgot.
Yeah, we're not on the air.
Right. The men,
we're not on the air.
I'm sorry.
Galen Shaw is with us. We're talking about Spetsnaz, the Russian Special Forces involved in a number of high-profile operations since the fall of the Iron Curtain. Before the fall of the Iron Curtain, you didn't know of them that much, huh?
Before the fall of the Iron Curtain, Phil, Spetsnaz was public knowledge of Spetsnaz was limited due to the lack of openness and the Russian press and so forth, Russian society and the Soviet society. And, of course, here in the United States, we had our own limited knowledge of this kind of thing. The country that really was pioneering in the use of special forces was Great Britain, which was the SAS, which stood for Scandinavian Air Service or Scandinavian Airlines. And they took on this name, SAS, as a way of disguising their operation so that people would not know what their real intent was. People thought that literally they were a Swedish airline.
Can I interrupt?
Yes, I think I have a question as well.
Well, I've not finished yet, though.
All right, go ahead.
All right, and so we came to know of the SAS in two ways. When they began their accelerated service, I was going to say, between Scandinavia and New York, they began two-a-day flights from Stockholm to New York. And then, of course, the operation to free the hostages at the British embassy in Iran, the Iranian embassy, I should say, in London. But then they melt back in, and that's what you do when you're special forces. You melt back into the background. You melt back in, and in their case, they melt back into being an airline or flying jets to Oslo whatever you want.
I got to interrupt you, General. SAS, Special Air Service.
Scandinavian Air Service. Margaret, you know.
Well, I've flown on Scandinavian Airways. I don't think the two are connected.
Well, yes, they are connected. Yes, they are connected. SAS. You're very young. All of you are younger than me, which means that I must be very old. As I sit and think about it now, you're all younger than me. Isn't that true?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
All right, then I must be old. God, I must be old. I must be over 100. Would you say that, Bill?
No, you can be older than me and not be over 100.
Well, I all right, but I've lived longer than I thought. I thought I'd lived a relatively short time, but I'm here to tell you, younger than me, and you, Margaret, you, all of you out there, members of the Largo Volunteers, that SAS is Scandinavian Airline something. We're getting bogged down in minutiae here.
Well, you're telling me that the SAS Special Air Service also operated the Scandinavian Airlines and flew twice a day between New York and Oslo. That's not the case, sir.
And you're telling me this, and you're, what branch of the military did you serve in?
General, I don't think you have to serve in the military.
What branch of the military did either one of you serve in?
None, sir.
All right. I flew Scandinavian Airways, and I said to the stewardess, in those days you could call them stewardesses, I said, what am I on? And she said, it's an airplane. I said, okay, so far so good. Now, what's the name of the airplane? And she said, it's a Lockheed. I said, no, I'm not asking you that. What's the name on the side? And she said, SAS. And I said, what does that stand for? And she said, Scandinavian Airlines. And I said, I caught you in your first lie. And she said, no, General, I know what you're thinking. It's Scandinavian Air Service, but we've changed it just colloquially to Scandinavian Airlines. And I said, okay, you're doing better. And then I said to her, what part is this associated with the British operational unit that freed those hostages from the Iranian embassy? And she gave me that look, you know.
Yeah, the look that says that you're a little off in the head.
No, Phil, you still have a hard time getting over the fact that I attract the eye of flight attendants and you don't. That's really what we're talking about. That's the bottom line here, isn't it, Phil?
No, sir. No, it's not. It's that I... Okay, well...
Well, you don't, and I do. And you know why? Because I have on a general uniform. I have on a general uniform.
Well, you have on an army uniform.
I don't have on an army uniform. I didn't wear a uniform. I don't wear a uniform the way Dan Northcraft wore a uniform, because on his uniform, it said Chief Petty Officer, whatever he was.
He was in the army, like you.
Yeah.
Do they have Chief Petty Officers?
I don't know what he did or where he was. He was a sergeant, is that right?
I think he was, yes.
Well, good for him. Now, getting back to my career as a general, I had on a general uniform. He wore a sergeant uniform. You know the big difference? The difference is the hat. And the difference will always be the hat. The hat of a general is the... It's marvelous. I'm tearing up a little bit.
Okay, General. We're talking with General Galen Shaw here, folks, and we're talking about the Special Forces unit in the Russian military called Spetsnaz. A very, very well-trained, very physical Special Forces unit that has been used by the Russian government from time to time in hostage operations. They're like our Delta Force. They're like our SEALs. They are like any of the elite units that we have. We're talking right now about the SAS, which was the granddaddy of all of these. Is that right, General Shaw?
Yeah, my name is General Shaw, yeah.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. I just spaced.
All right, well, you went, is that right? Pause, pause, pause. My name is General Galen Shaw. I'm a military man, and I will tell you this much, Phil. You want to give all this credit to the SAS, well, that's fine and dandy. But there are other secret military units out there, the secret units that you don't even know the names of, very secret groups, the secret agencies and secret agents, and no one ever talks about them. You can go back to the days of George Washington. But before SAS, there was a group called the secret agents, and they were individuals that traveled around from country to country, generally wearing a moderately priced business suit, very nice shoes, their hair was barbered. These were men that looked like successful businessmen. They looked like men who were extremely successful in business, but they never carried a briefcase. So you'd think perhaps they're a model or an actor, but they were too conservatively dressed for that. Well, what were they? They were secret agents, and they worked for a variety of governments.
All right, you're talking about the normal intelligence service of a country, right?
I'm talking about, if you'll listen to me, secret agents.
I understand what a secret agent is.
All right, then you know.
Yeah, wearing a business suit and they don't carry a briefcase. It sounds to me like you're, you know, Margaret?
Yes, General, it sounds like you're describing a secret agent from television.
No, what I'm describing is a secret agent that television came up with their idea of what a secret agent looks like. I admit to you, the first time I saw a secret agent was on television, but I'm in the Army. And I don't know. Secret agents were not Army. Secret agents were secret agents. I don't know.
Well, what about the CIA?
What about the CIA?
Didn't they have secret agents?
The CIA had secret agents, and they had operatives. They had a lot of things. But I'm talking about a secret... I don't know if they had a secret agent or not. I guess maybe they did have a secret agent. The point that I'm making is SAS is a Scandinavian airline, not a bunch of limeys. Well, I get very, very... I get irritated, Phil.
All right, we're talking about General Galen Shaw here. Let's get a phone call in. What do you get irritated about?
I get irritated when I have to talk about other Secret Service, secret agent stuff. America has secret agents, too. And I get so bugged when I...
All right, let's go to a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos calling in from the South Bay tonight. Jay, go ahead. You're on with General Galen Shaw.
Phil, thanks a lot. It's good to be on the air. And General Shaw, I certainly followed you for many years on radio. Good to talk to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good to talk with you.
General Shaw, I wanted to, first of all, commend you on your service to the United States of America. And
thank you very much, sir.
And I also want to commend you on your being a drill instructor and everything like this. Did you mention that you were a sergeant?
Yes, I was a sergeant, but I'm not a sergeant any longer. The sergeant is Dan Northcraft, who was the engineer on the Phil Henry Show. I wear a general uniform.
Yes, I want to ask you about that. The hat that you guys wear, where do you get that?
I don't know where they get it. They make them.
Do you have a question about our topic?
I do, Phil, but I just, as you know, as Citizens Auxiliary Police, we are looking to, we are redesigning a sub-commander uniform.
Right? I don't know anything about a sub-commander. What is that?
That's our group, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
The Citizens Australian Police.
No, sir, the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Oh, all right, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And you're looking to you want to redesign who?
We want to redesign our uniform, and we were thinking about having a hat like the one you wear.
Well, I wear a general's hat. This is a U.S. Army general hat, and it's a big hat. You know the kind. It's got I can't describe it, but it's big and round, and it has the,
I don't know. What's it called, Phil, you know?
Yeah, Phil, do you know what it's called?
No, I don't know what it's called, General. You're the general. You're in the Army.
Well, okay. Do I look like a fashion designer? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right, Phil. You look like a fashion designer. And
no, but you do. What is it called?
I do. Oh, boy.
I think he just called you a fancy boy. I think he just called you a fancy boy.
Phil, I take a great reception to that.
What is it? Who cares about the hat, okay? Do you have a question for the general? I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I've got to move on here. Do you have a question for the general?
All right, well, I wanted to ask General Shaw, when you're talking about the Russians, the Spetsnaz, does it ever sort of burn you, or do you ever feel, you know, a little bit kind of cut down, feel kind of, you know, knowing that there's a group out there like that that may be just as badass, or I shouldn't say badass, but as bad as, you know, special forces? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, well, thank you very much, Jay.
You're welcome.
Right, okay.
You're going to hang up and listen, right?
Yes, sir, that's exactly right. Thank you, General.
Yes, Jay, thank you. Well, Jay, thank you for your question. You know, it's interesting that...
You're welcome, and... I'm sorry.
Will you hang up? Are you going to stay on the line or hang up?
I'm going to hang up and listen.
Then hang up and listen.
All right.
Jay, I think Mr. Henry wants you to do what you're saying here, to hang up and listen. I don't care if you stay on the line with me.
But I got to get going, my way.
All right. Has he hung up?
I guess, yeah. I can't ask him.
Yes, I did. No, I didn't.
Oh, man. Let's take a break, okay? We're going to take a break. 877-876-PHIL.
He's hanging up and listening.
No, he ain't hanging up and listening. Get on the line with that nut and tell him to hang up, and I don't care if he listens. How about that? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to hang up and listen, but do I got to hang up now?
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on the line with these, General Galen Shaw, as we talk about, General Shaw and I are talking about the Spetsnaz, special forces in Russia, in the Russian military, are every bit the equal of our very finest special forces soldiers. They're every bit the equal of the Delta Force, SEALs, and so forth. And I'm sure that, and I say this not as a professional, but I'm sure that the men in those outfits, those units, would probably agree that these guys are, a pretty tough bunch of customers. General Shaw, wanted to ask you, sir, about the Russian soldier, the Russian soldier as a specimen, a physical specimen. We've heard so much about how tough they are. Are they tougher than, say, Americans?
Well, Phil, I think so much of that is psychological. I don't think it is physical. And in that respect, no, I don't think they're any tougher than our soldiers. I think their training is different. They do emphasize, in the Russian Special Forces, they emphasize hand-to-hand. They emphasize knife fighting. They emphasize martial arts. And they do seem to have nerves of steel. And if there's anything that I would say the American soldier lacks, we've got a lot of nervous citizens. We have civilians here in the United States that are a nervous type. And Americans do tend to be more nervous, more jittery, more jumpy than Russians. And that's just the nature of a civilian force here in the country that perhaps some people would argue have had it too good. They've had it too soft for too long, and they've had things go just their way. And now things get tough, and everybody falls apart and gets jumpy and jittery and needs nerve tonic or what have you. I don't think nerve tonic exists, but...
Well, why, when you say jumpy and jittery, what is it about the Russians?
Look, Bill, Russia is the only country that I'm aware of, and this is why they produce the kinds of tough guys that they've got in their special forces. Here's a country that has been bombarded with meteors and asteroids and comets. A comet. Let's talk about this for a minute. Has America ever survived a comet landing and blowing everything half to hell? No. Has America ever survived
What do you mean the comet? You mean the...
I'm talking about that forest in Russia, in Siberia.
Oh, okay, in 1908?
I don't know when it was. Phil, you can talk to some of... the young man Dickman to look it up on the Wicca, whatever that is.
Yeah, call the Winklepedia.
On Winklepedia, yeah.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, and so when you've got a lot of nervous, jumpy, jittery... Little Red Riding Hoods, and then you go over to Russia, and you've got a guy that stood there and spit right into the face of a comet. Is there any doubt who is tougher when it comes to just nerves of steel? And I can tell you, Phil, as a general and a leader of men, and I would have loved to have been a general in the Russian Army, and I would have loved to have commanded a unit of these tough, tough Russians, and you can drop a meteor right in the middle of their afternoon, and they walk around like big deal. I admire the hell out of that.
Well, when you say big deal...
Well, I've seen the video, Phil. Oh, look at this. My chair... Oh, God, my chair just collapsed. Hold on for just a moment, Phil. Ed, fix the chair, will you?
Yes, General. Sorry, General, get another chair?
Yes, get me another chair immediately. If you have to go to supply, go to supply. Wake them up. I don't care, but get me a chair.
Yep.
All right, Phil, so...
All right, so you're talking about Spetsnaz, how tough they are, because these are Russians, and they survived meteors, and...
Yes, and you saw the videotape from the meteor the other day. There was an explosion, the likes of which would have had every single American that I know of crapping his pants. Now, understand what I'm saying. Literally. Mothers, wives, children... Doctors, lawyers, everyone would have dumped in their shorts when they heard that explosion. But in Russia, they looked up, they saw the explosion, and they went, ha, 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 ha. God, I admire that. God, I admire that soul.
Well, you know,
No. There's no, well, no, Phil.
No, I'm not going to disagree with you. It's been said that the Russian physical specimen, the Russian, is just a tough dude because of the extreme climate, because of so many centuries also of having to endure under such corrupt kinds of governmental regimes.
Well, there you go. They had the Tsar, and the Tsar was a butchering, slaughtering, murdering entity, the likes of which I don't think the world has ever seen. The Tsars, the various Tsars of Russia, were the slaughtering, murdering scum of the earth. Yes, they were very regal, and they were certainly the toast of many of the capitals of Europe. I understand the last Tsar was a great dancer. He and his wife entered a great many waltzing competitions and so forth. But that doesn't excuse the slaughter and the murder and the butchery of Tsar Nicholas. But again, they were great dancers. And
okay, I understand that they were great dancers.
I just wanted to say that. Now, then you had the communists, and the communists were the most god-awful bastards
and you talk about the scum of the earth. And so the Russian people had to put up with all of this. Well, you combine that with comets, meteors, asteroids, and a winter that would freeze, it would refreeze the dinosaurs even before the dinosaurs are discovered. You understand what I'm saying? So right now, the Russian winter is freezing any idea that we'll ever be able to bring a dinosaur back to life. It's not just freezing the dinosaur, it's freezing the concept of reinvigorating and cloning the dinosaur. Now then.
Okay, General, you have gone beyond my purview, if you'll pardon the expression.
Wow, that's a big word.
And thank you. And General, thank you very much for joining us. General Galen, excuse me, General Galen Shaw, he's getting into...
Well, I don't know what he means by freezing a dinosaur.
Yeah, but he's saying a good thing about the Russians are tough.
Yeah, they're tough, man.
Well, sure, they're tough. They're tough people, there's no question. And he did say something there about the weather that they have. And the winters, yeah, are brutal. And yeah, they've had all these, you know, they come from a tradition of serfs, which is basically, and it's not surfing, bud, S-E-R-F. And that's basically where you don't, you're like a slave. So, I don't know.
What about this idea, though, that the meteors and the asteroids?
Well, you know, they have had their fair share of meteors and asteroids, that's for sure. All right, we'll be back here next hour, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil, one other thing. The dinosaur, which died off 65 million years ago, forget about it because it's so cold, colder than a witch's boob.